Last time on Dear Jessamyn.
We are parked at home in my parents' driveway in North Carolina. I mean, I'm kind of inviting in rest, like in a different way, not needing to fill every moment with something and enjoy the slower pace.
Your life in that way and your family is like, you know, some version of like looking into somebody's window at Christmas or something. It's a lot, though. It's big. It's not over. It's not, you know, it's not going anywhere. It's like just it's a blot for me.
I wrote down that I wanted to talk about like the North Carolina the return, because it's a whole thing for us to come back home.
This episode of Dear Jessamyn has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that's just not for everybody. You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it, and we think that's great. We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
What I want to do to myself is selfish in the best way.
That's us being back. That's only part of us being back. I mean, that's not even to mention the like moment I pulled into the office in Durham. I was just like filled with, well, that's actually not true. I feel like when I got to Durham, there was just so much like memory of like inadequacy and just feeling not very good at stuff, not very good at my job. When I got up to my office, Amber was there. It was so good to see Amber and just remember that we get to work together and she makes my life, my work life and otherwise so much better all the time. But that like I got into the office with her and it was like, wait a second, like we're building something here. Like, you know, I love the way I decorated my office and it's still that way. And it was, I have like an office desktop computer that like Amber uses now, which makes my heart sing. But I got in there and I was like sitting at the like second desk. She was using the big computer. I was using like laptop and I was like a little bit like, I want my computer back, but a whole lot like, this is fucking amazing to get to come back to my office and like shit's being used like really well for really good stuff. And it was so heartwarming. So I get to work with her next week in the office, which feels so good because it's just hard to be remote sometimes. I mean, I know you feel maybe a little differently than me, but I'm also at a different stage in where my business is than you. And there's like a lot more hands-on that my shit could benefit from.
Absolutely.
And that remote is just like that much harder for doing.
Yeah, I bet.
So this is, I'm like so excited. And honestly, like, we can talk about it more, but like the idea of staying till Thanksgiving for this reason sounds great for Tender Fire Media. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think me and Amber could really bust out a lot, you know, and we're oriented similarly. We're both fire signs. We like go fucking hard. And so I feel like we could do like big days, a couple of big days that include recordings, that include editing, that include like different shit we don't get to do together. And that I think we could really benefit from. So that feels exciting.
So exciting.
But it's hard to walk around like, you know, the town. I moved here when I was 12 to Durham, I should say. And there's a lot of ghosts, you know. And I feel like every time I leave Durham, which I've moved away many times since I was 16 and back again. Every time I leave, I feel free. You know, like I've left a cult. Not quite like I've left a cult, but like I've left something that is so familiar, but also I think holds me back. And so, you know, we're in Vermont and I'm like, oh my God, I understand things. Or, you know, just myself even start meditating, you know, all kinds of stuff like feels accessible. And then I get back to Durham. And don't get me wrong, I think that driving 18 hours, excuse me, I think I had some like catching up on rest to do and a little bit of exhaustion. So driving 18 hours, then two full shoot days, then like just a bunch of weird emotional shit, like roller coaster stuff. And then yesterday, I was like, I was playing the role of Charlie Bucket's grandparents, all four of them put together, when Grandpa Joe got up out of the bed. Anyway.
You did at the end. You were Grandpa
That's
Joe.
That's true. Yeah, I did go to a dance party at the very end. That's so funny. Good call. Nice work. But yeah, no, I was in bed and I refused to get up. I just couldn't. It just wasn't. I kept trying to do different things and I would just get like overwhelmed, exhausted, and depressed. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to go lay down. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we have an extremely comfortable bed. And
it is so comfortable.
And you were hanging out with me in bed some. We napped some. Mm-hmm. You did some tidying. Got your Virgo whistle wet a little bit there. Mm-hmm. It was nice to watch you. But it felt bad because I was like, there's so much we need to do. And some days I just have to rest. Like, and I was appreciating, maybe in this moment, I'm appreciating that my body was like, I refuse. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to. That's sue me. It. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And I literally couldn't.
Your body is like, we can get more serious with this too.
Let's
if
not.
You want, I we don't can need, go to a doctor. You want to?
Nope. I don't need like, any okay. kind of, I can make the choice. You can choose the right thing. So that was weird. Still hard to do, but ultimately like, I mean, it meant that I got to go out that night, I think. Mm-hmm. And that was really important to me and a really hard and weird decision to make. But I'm glad we got out. Got to see one of my besties. Mm-hmm. Got to dance with my babe, which I haven't in a long time. Mm-hmm. So it was nice. Anyway.
Yeah.
Now I'm rambling.
Yeah. I feel you about all of that.
True.
Yeah.
Where's she from here, mate?
Well, I was going to say, just on the topic of the return.
Yeah.
I had not really considered what it would be like to come back to North Carolina. Like, I wasn't really looking forward to it, to be honest, because I have felt more myself since we left. Mm. And I did not want to return to what was here before.
Yeah.
And so one of the lessons I think from that is becoming like, you have to be yourself even when you're somewhere where you weren't yourself or something, or where you were a different self. Yeah. I think it's just a different self. And then the day that we left Vermont was so chaotic and really like, it was a very hard day.
Yeah.
And
I have shame coming up for me around remembering it.
I don't even know that there's a need to like go into it, but I think that for anyone who's listening that has had a serious fight with their partner when you still had to do some shit like move or which we move every time that we pick up the camper, we're moving. And you really ID'd that you have so much trauma around moving and that moving every week is triggering as fuck.
Obviously. Oh, my God. Obviously. But like low key, thanks, DJ Universe. I mean, I feel like drop that one. You know what I mean? Like
it reminds me of the way that we have to move reminds me of in the Hunger Games, the second one, when they are on that. In that arena where it changes, that it's like moving on a sundial and every 2 hours or every hour or something, it turns into something else. Like I feel, and you could just never get used to it.
Yeah. Or get good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're learning so much about like how to do it, but it
is. I love the challenge, but I just, I think what's also fucked up, and I'm going to say fucked up, is that I have creeped up on this realization until finally I was like, oh my God, that's ridiculous. Obviously, that's hard for me emotionally. I won't eat. Mm-hmm. I won't smoke weed. I won't have slept the night before. Mm-hmm. Some dumbass crazy shit. And I'm setting myself up for extreme failure. But I'm also, I mean, that's not to mention the fact that like when I'm in that state, it is, I don't even know what adjective to use.
Do you think you're like self-sabotaging when you do it?
I really don't think that there's any agenda, to be honest with you. I think there's like pure chaos, terror,
totally.
Reaction, freak out, anxiety, loss of control, loss of forethought, like sight. Like I can't see beyond, you know, the moment and everything is scary or something. Oh my God. I was so overwhelmed. Holy shit. Because there was so much work stuff that was like being like dartboard thrown at my head. I felt
with axes. No, it was heavy. You were really like,
receiving, and
you were learning a lot of lessons.
So hungry, like so needed weed, like thirsty, like you know. I wasn't. What's interesting too is that we spent an hour talking to the person who owned the campground.
Shout out to
that person,
the owner.
But And that was very pleasant and like low key. Like I got the whole thing finished and hooked up. I was feeling very pleasant in that moment.
Okay. But the thing is, he engaged us in an hour long monologue about his life. And I think, had many opportunities. White men are going to white men. But I had many opportunities to shut that conversation down. And I did not take them. And it's because I get, this happens to me frequently where people will be talking to me for like a long time. And I am being offered the opportunity to politely tell someone, you know, I really need to go. I have to do these other things. But I get worried about hurting their feelings, especially whenever they are telling me something very intimate,
which is always.
Always. And I'm like, you know, this person is really sharing of themselves. Like I should.
Yeah.
And it happened twice that day at like really intense moments for us. And I just feel like I just look at those moments and I'm like, I didn't take the opportunity in both cases and ended up having these very long conversations. I didn't feel that I took it.
You ended up doing that in the second one.
Yeah, but it was after a while and it still took a while to end even after that. And I feel like I want to be conscious of that. But one of the most stressful parts of that day was that everything that was happening, once we started moving, all of your work stress, all of the like not having eaten, not having smoked weed, not having rested, all of the stuff is happening while the trailer is actually hooked up to the car. And we weren't running out of diesel.
Not this time.
Lord, another time.
Another time that we were moving. We almost ran out of gas. We had to drop the trailer, take the car to the diesel. Because why in the motherfuck is it so hard to find diesel?
It is so hard to find diesel everywhere. It doesn't even matter.
And you'll get to a place with diesel and the nozzles will be wrong. Are you kidding
Literally.
Me? Is that a joke?
It's so intense. Or maybe they don't have diesel. Sheets the other night, they were just out of everything.
It doesn't matter.
Literally. Anyway, the search for diesel is a thing.
Ongoing.
But at all times. That particular day, there were multiple times where the car plus the trailer got driven into places that were... To say that they were less than ideal for turning around is the understatement.
They were almost impossible to understand how to maneuver. It was...
You were really being tested.
I was in a serious 100% way being tested.
Literally.
Holy mother God.
Tested for driving and the backing and all the different turning, was like a driving test.
All the geometry of it all.
Because Vermont is like a mountain town. Yes, rural. And it's literally a mountain. So all the roads are pretty narrow in
general.
But
it freezes half the fucking year. So every fucking road has potholes the size of a Buick.
And if there are not cars that typically go down, the one road in particular, the first one, was not meant for vehicles to be going down.
Why were we even on there? I mean, the thing was, I was freaking...
You were so mad, dude.
Out.
When you get mad, you stop
freaking
listening. You're like, I'm done.
It's not making any sense.
You're not, and I literally was like, don't go that way. And you were just like, it was like you were seeing red. And I was just like,
the understatement of the year.
What the fuck?
I was insane. I lost myself. I lost control of my body. I mean, it was just all very, very hard to be me. I'm sure it was also very, very hard to be you in that circumstance. I'm not being sarcastic. I really am.
No, I know. And I mean, I don't think there's any reason to.
It never ended.
Whoa, is
then
me.
We got to just... town. We had to dump the gray water. We couldn't find a place to dump it. Our campground had one, but they were digging a trench that rendered it impossible for us to dump our gray water there. We were like looking up where we could dump gray water.
No. And then you were like, I just need Wi-Fi because I need to work on these spreadsheets.
Which is, okay, I can do numbers. I'm not like, I don't freak out about numbers. Sequencing is a part of my life it's like podcast editing. I love it. I love it. I love the idea of planning a future. I love the, you know what I mean? Like, I love the idea of building a world where these things happen in order. Like, I love all of it. I just don't give myself the things I love on my schedule in a way that like I have enough time to really get into how I love them and enjoy them. So I'm on the side of the, oh my God. And then we got stuck again and had to turn around in a ridiculous manner. Meanwhile, there are San Francisco grade mountain roads, but with a trailer. I mean, I'm just like, I don't know why. And I was pretty sure you were, should break up with me as a result of everything I was doing and saying.
We've broken up so many times. Since
you're like, I'm bored of breaking up at this point.
Well, it's like, are you going to do it or no? Like, it's,
yeah.
And I'm like,
hold the gun, pull the trigger, put it down, you know?
Right. Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such an interesting exercise in that, because I think that if we lived separately and we were having this level of drama, we wouldn't break together. We for sure
break up. Well, and then, I mean, because then to flash forward just only for 1 second, just to talk about the spectrum of breaking up that gets talked about. When we got here, no, Trader Joe's, what were we going to break up about? God almighty. You know what I mean?
Broke up twice this week.
Work. It was work. Oh, it wasn't good. I was like refusing to break up with you, but I was going to quit.
Do you remember this?
I don't want to belittle the fact that I don't want to work for you forever.
Literally.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't want you to work for me
forever. But here we are doing a great job collaborating on these really cool life things.
Yes.
That will, you know, launch this, you know, propel this next part of both of our careers, whatever. Anyway, yeah, but it was
just all a practice.
It's just all a practice.
And it's really like learning. Yeah. For me, it's also about learning how to collaborate with another person, like how to really receive someone else. Like, I have avoided group projects my whole life. Like, I got a taste of it early on and I was like, I don't need this. I don't want this. And now my whole life's work is group projects. Just like every day is a different group project. And you are one of the most intense group projects of all. And like, we are really being forced to, I'm being forced to show up 100% as myself.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And also to deal with.
I don't feel forced, but I do feel challenged too in a way that I feel great about.
Oh, interesting.
You know, because my whole thing is like,
I feel forced. I feel like I would have walked away. You know what I mean? Like, by now. Like, I feel like the universe is like I can.
Right.
But it's like, why? You know? It's like, what's the, are you really, you don't want to make this art? Like, you just make this art. Shut up and make this art. Like, I feel like that's what the universe says to me.
Totally. Same.
I didn't mean to talk over you.
I don't think you did.
Well.
So.
That was Friday. So but this is the thing about the long drives.
Oh my God.
The long drives necessitate dealing with it. Yeah. Whatever the thing is.
Yeah, it's like, where I'm going to go.
Literally. All we got is road.
Mirror bitch.
And let's mirror bitch.
Hey, mirror bitch. You looking real clean. You looking real bad. You looking like a queen.
Literally. That was a real one. Shout out to mirror bitch.
Shout out to you being my mirror bitch.
Oh, yeah. You're my mirror bitch.
That first day we made it from Vermont to New York, which meant we drove through a little bit of New Hampshire, huge chunk of Massachusetts. Maybe not that huge.
No, the
it was like most of it.
Longitude of Massachusetts. Latitude? Yeah. Up and down. Whatever.
And we got to, I forget the name of the town in New York, but somewhere in not, like, it was like somewhere in upstate New York. And we spent the night in a Walmart parking lot,
which was
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because
we pulled in super late,
literally
dropped anchor.
Yeah,
we had set up the camper for transit in a way that would make it easy to just jump in bed, and then when we wake up, just leave.
Literally,
and we did that. I mean, we ran into Walmart to grab a few things in the morning, and I think the next time we could leave even faster.
I do too,
but I think we did great.
It's great because it really pushes you to get up.
Yeah, you don't really want to hang out.
Yeah.
But but it was boondocking, so we didn't turn anything on. Like, we had our water bottles.
We literally went to bed.
We had the composting toilet, so that doesn't need any electricity or anything. So yeah, I thought it was really cool. We both were really inspired for the future and just like different ways we can utilize that as a resource. Whereas before, I think you were, we talked about a really juicy topic on the way out of the Walmart, like, why were you against sort of Walmart parking lots in the past? Do you want to talk about that?
Well, I mean, like, I had felt like parking in a Walmart parking lot, there's like a homeless feeling to it where I was being self-conscious and judgmental of myself and thinking like, what does that mean about me that I'm like sleeping in a Walmart parking lot?
Totally.
And like what it means about me is that that's clutch and it was an incredible place to be parked. It's, there's lights, it's secure.
Yeah.
Like
we have blackout curtains.
Literally.
It's perfect.
It was perfect.
And we were there what? Like a total of like 5 hours.
Literally.
Which is perfect.
It's exactly.
Yeah, it was all great. I don't mean to belabor the point or whatever, but I think there is something in me too that had a similar like, yeah, I'm doing that. But is that when I asked you, had you ever been homeless?
Maybe, yeah.
And you said no, but you had this like very heavy look on your face afterwards. I think probably just the realization that like we have a disparity in those experiences. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You tell me what was the... You said it like... makes me feel like I'm homeless or something. And I was genuinely like, is that a part of your story? I don't remember. Like, I wasn't, I was just like, have you ever? And I felt like maybe you thought I was like being passive aggressive or something.
I'm really glad we're clearing remember.
It. Oh, great.
Me too. No, I mean,
it's been heavy on me because like, I would never use that against someone. You know what I mean? And I didn't want to overthink it, you know? But it is coming up now, I guess. So I did overthink it. But it's interesting to have been homeless, living in different scenarios with my mom when I was a kid, like friend's couch. There was this like hotel that it was a Days Inn that would give like homeless, like moms, like a place to stay as long as they were working, which is... an interesting design because they didn't want kids to be left alone at the hotel
interesting, but the moms needed to work.
And my mom decided to task us with the responsibility of staying in the hotel.
I love this woman so much. Have I met you?
Who stayed in the hotel or not?
Oh yeah,
did my brother stay in the hotel? Yeah. Did my sister? Yeah. Was there a pool? Yeah. Damn. Did I? No way. Get the hell out of here. Why would I have done that? That's so silly. That is really not taking into account who I am. It's not my fault. Set up for failure. Here's the point. I got us kicked out of this program. By I got us kicked out, I mean they had really stupid policies that none of it worked. None of it worked. None of it worked. It didn't
work. How old
were
you? The thing about the pool was that you had to be there.
How the fuck do you think I'm supposed to get out the energy that I need to get out of my body and cool this fire down? It was
summertime. Cool.
My mom worked at Dillard's across the street in the mall, St. Matthews in Louisville, Kentucky. And we were bad. I was bad. I don't know about them. I was bad. I know I was bad. But I crossed this like 12-lane highway motherfucking mall. I mean, just crazy shit. You don't even know the half. So anyway.
I believe it.
That was another time we were in the car for weeks, which to an 8-year-old is months, if not years.
Absolutely.
So there are various points in time that I was definitely homeless and like did not have this really nice RV to live in. So if we had, it would have been like, you know, living like kings. And so I think experience meant that staying in the Walmart parking lot in this felt a lot less like being homeless to me. If that makes any sense. I don't know if the experience of actually being there maybe was similar to you where it was like, this is nice. This is not bad. This is not a not good thing. So, did you want to talk about the week?
Oh, Lord. Well, we got back to North Carolina on Saturday night, very late. Very late. It was after 10. And
drop the trailer in your...
Drop the trailer. Trailer. Yeah, we were not planning to stay here. We were planning to get a campsite somewhere in the Raleigh-Durham area, which proved to be extremely difficult because... The North Carolina State Fairgrounds are like one of the larger RV parks in the largest RV parks in the angle. And since the fair is actually happening, everyone who usually parks their RV there is parking their RV at one of the other campgrounds right. in the state, so in the full. Area. So they're all full. And that made it more clear that it would be a great thing to just stay here mm-hmm. in my parents' driveway. And that has been incredible. And I feel really grateful for it.
Oh my gosh, I feel so grateful.
I felt really grateful that you suggested it. Mm-hmm. I had all these feelings about like regressing and again with my fucking self-judgment. Mm. Like, what does it mean for me to be living in a camper trailer in my parents' driveway? Mm. Like,
that's real.
Excuse me. Well, it's real. It's up. And it's washed out by the gratitude that I have for us just being able to be here. And
we're plugged in. Literally. I mean, geez. What's not to love?
But, excuse me, when we first got here, we were only here for Sunday. And then on Monday, we worked in Greensboro for the first part of the day. Mm. And then we drove to Durham. You went earlier and worked at your office with Amber. And I came a little bit later in the day. I worked here in Jamestown in the camper. Mm-hmm. And then I drove to Durham later to the Airbnb where we stayed and shot the Underbelly classes. Mm-hmm. And excuse me. So we spent this week in Durham at the Airbnb. See, now I'm like, how much of this do we really want to talk about? Or how much is there to really say about it?
If I were to say things that happened to me or like in my emotional landscape, for instance, if that was like a report back, I would talk about this really weird mashup of three partners, former partners, and like deep, intense emotions that spilled out all over onto you and like cut into my sleep in a big way that, you know, made me questionably not as great, you know, not as sharp at my job, whatever, you know, like had impacts on the ways we were working and blah, blah, blah. So that's what I would talk about if I was going to talk about the week. Please. In addition to the work. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so Tenderfire was managing this shoot in like more depth than we ever have. And so, you know, it was like an opportunity for me and Amber to get better at working together and collaborating in ways that we haven't before, you know, just taking on responsibilities we hadn't really before. And it was an amazing opportunity. And I mean, for your part in it, which it's not just you at the Underbelly, but I'm super grateful for the opportunity to like, learn. We have a debrief that's going to be immensely helpful too. Mm-hmm. You know, we hired the still photographer. We were communicating with the videographer. We were like, you know, scheduling.
Yeah, and whatever. You were production managing.
That's what we were doing. And it was really cool. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard at times. Just like, I don't like not being good at something. Mm-hmm. So I felt like an apprentice or like a new, you know, like, which is like hard for me, which is great to accept. You know, I love that it's hard for me. It's a challenge. I love a challenge. You know what I mean? Like I really do. So getting it there was helpful, but there are just ways that I sabotage my ability to show up as well as I know I can through not sleeping, through any number of things, not believing in myself, whatever.
So want to be whatever.
Thanks. So it was hard to be in Durham. Mm. It was hard, both hard to feel like I have these responsibilities that I may or may not be great at, ? But really that I'm just new at and like given some time, it's going to be, you know, all right. And me being really hard on myself in that way. But also just like stuff I knew I could do a better job at. Like I could have done better with all the skills and resources I have currently. And I just didn't show up as, you know, I didn't show up 100%. And I hate that feeling. Dude, I hate that feeling. So that was like work stuff. Then I was having all this like really intense like emotional experiences with people who are in my life at really, really different intimacy levels, but all of whom were or are sexual partner. And Do you want to say more about that? Or?
Yeah, I think you should. I feel like it offers context.
I have an ex who I really love a lot as a human being. And we've had like a relationship since we broke up like almost 10 years ago that has been really like loving and kind and wonderful and generous. But it's sparse, like not often, not constant, like really infrequent, I would say. Maybe twice a year we would communicate with each other. Mm. And different partners I've had have been like varying levels of like threatened by her and our relationship and whatever. Anyway, we had this long conversation over text one night. I think either she liked some Instagram connection, then we were just DMing. Mm-hmm. And like I don't know why, I just had this urge, I guess, to like, or I mean, I was just feeling really emotional and really vulnerable. And like, she does this really amazing job of like, just like presenting facts, but in a caring way. And like, she has great boundaries, I would say, like with me, who has very few and isn't really invested in rules and boundaries and like, whatever. She's monogamous. So that's like a boundary where she's like partnered and not fucking around, you know? Mm. So all of that is just backstory to be like, I think I asked her something like, do you think of me fondly? Mm. I'm judging myself a lot right now for it, but mm. I was seeking connection, intimacy, and mm-hmm. she's a really incredible person that I love dearly. Mm. So anyway, I don't hear from her. She doesn't like reach out to me typically. Sometimes she will, recently more than ever before, but I'm not going to like count on like a, hey, how's it going? It's Thursday from mm-hmm. this person ever, which is fine. Like that's her boundary. Like, I don't even know if I could sustain a relationship. You know what I mean? Like it's no complaints, but just the lay of the land. So she was like really kind and was like, of course I do. What do you mean? And she had recently found old pictures of us when we were together, mm-hmm. which like is such a throwback. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't have these pictures. They were on a hard drive of hers. She sent, you know, I asked her to send them to me and I looked at them and they're like, you know, whatever. It was just like, oh, she was the only person I think I've ever broken up with who I was never cool with being broken up with her. Mm. Like I was never, that never felt right that we weren't together. Mm. And I just think that we didn't, I'm sure that we wouldn't have been together for the rest of our lives. Namely that she's monogamous and I'm poly mm. as like a strong identity or whatever. But, now I'm just thinking of her listening to this. It's not offensive or like different than what she's, whatever. This is my experience. Anyway,
she's going to be all right.
That's right. And she, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't want me to be different or change it. Mm-hmm. Whatever. It's my show. Yeah. So anyway, I was having this really intimate conversation with her just about like our history and like loving each other and like what that means now. And, you know, it was a mind fuck. Mm. I sobbed for the vast majority of it. And you were asleep next to me. And it was just like I, you talk about this sometimes, like just raking myself over the coals, just doing the most painful thing I could think of, you know, mm. and just like engaging in that like devastating conversation, you know, mm. and it's just exhausting. And I'm like meant to be sleeping. We have like big work days. And then, so there's this ongoing conversation between you and me around this person I'm seeing in who lives in California. And that coming up at various times that's hard. And like you having a range of experiences with my having that relationship happening. And that was ongoing, you know, throughout. Mm-hmm. And then there's this guy that I had, I guess I could say I had a crush on, have a crush on, had a crush mm-hmm. on, who I met with Amber while we were out at a restaurant one time. And I made it super clear to him over text message, you know, that like I was sexually interested in him. He was like, I'm down for that. I'm into you too, whatever. And so we made a plan to like hang out and like hook up. And that went different than it was gonna. So it was just like various like intimacy levels, various like interests or like depths, whatever. But a lot of that on my side of things mm. that I'm just wondering now how, looking back, like what was that like for you?
Does it feel chaotic? to talk about?
Oh my God. Just now trying to get all that out.
That is exactly what it was like. It was like chaos. It was like, that's why, like, on Thursday, I had all these, because we finished the shoot on Wednesday, which was such a blessing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can do so much stuff that I'm behind on Thursday. And Thursday, I was just like borderline useless. Like, I felt like I could not, I had to take a nap during the day. I had to rest. Mm-hmm.
Which you don't typically do.
I don't typically do that. And I mean, it was just all the stress of everything that it had taken to get back to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And then to just do this really intense week of like spiritual presence and also production and like reorientation. And then just this, I mean, the intensity of our work dynamic is such that even on a week when it's not what you were just describing,
right,
it's a lot. Mm-hmm. And that also being like the backdrop of sleep, like that's what's happening at bedtime. Yeah. And it was just like, it was a lot emotionally.
Yeah.
And I think punctuated humorously by you alluded to this hookup that didn't go down mm-hmm. all the way between you and this person that you have a crush on, this guy you have a crush on. Mm-hmm. But what has been omitted up to this point is that it was being poised as a threesome between the three of us. Mm-hmm. And I
continue to hate threesomes.
I just think three is a complicated number, and it does not even have to be. And I thought this time it really wasn't going to be, because this person is very chill. He's like a good person, and he's cute. He's fun. It's good. He's good to be around. Like, I wouldn't mind sucking his dick. You know what I mean?
I sure do.
So, right. I wouldn't mind sharing his dick. Like, this sounds great. Right. That's right. But there was a very strong right turn, left turn. I don't know. There was a point where we were all watching this porn reality show together, which shout out to, what's the show called?
It's called The Sex Factor.
The Sex Factor.
It's produced by xhamster.com.
Xhamster.
Hamster.
Hamster.
Xhamster.
We're watching this program, and the thing about that show is that it is, first of all, it's an incredible show. It's a really cool show. But it is less about fucking mm-hmm. than it is about production. The emotional development of the people on the show.
Yeah.
And there was a storyline on the show that was just a buzzkill. It was a boner killer. It was a mood killer.
Yeah.
It was not. And I felt that I had poisoned things, or that I felt that I had thrown salt in your game. Mm-mm. Because Mm-mm. of the way that I was behaving during the scene on this show.
You love to laugh at things because, that not everybody thinks are funny.
God damn it. It is literally the worst.
I really don't think that's what was happening in that experience, though.
Oh, really?
No, yeah. I mean, so he was like, shortly into starting to watch the program, he was like, dang, my stomach really hurts. I got to go home.
Yeah.
And he's a Taurus. Like,
yeah.
If I was a Taurus, my stomach might start hurting at 2:15 after a full day of work. Mm-hmm. He said he didn't eat much that day, which I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, food service workers aren't like munching all the time necessarily. You know?
Yeah.
You get tired of the food. You know, you don't want to eat whatever. He had liquor with us mm-hmm. and he smoked weed, which he doesn't smoke as much weed as he smokes. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I could see him being like, no, I gotta go home.
Yeah.
Mostly there's a Taurus, but all those other things too.
I mean, the thing is, I have done that on many occasions where I'm like, you know what?
Gotten sick.
I'm gonna go home.
Or like,
you should be like, I'm good. You know, like, I'm tired.
Exactly. And I was thinking of you when I was like hearing him. I was like, I mean, Jessamyn would want to be home by now.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, I just felt like the timing of it wasn't great. So that like,
I just played it wrong. Goddamn.
Well, there's things I would do differently. Mm-hmm. You said things that you would do differently.
Yeah, but I was at the Hinge. So it was my responsibility to really get things initiated. And I didn't take many opportunities because I was having such a great, fun friend hangout.
I just wish that I had. I mean, like, I just feel bad that you, because you've been wanting the D is the thing about it. You have been desperately craving dick. And I was like, this is great. She's finally going to get this thing that she like really needs. And I felt bad that I'd like gotten in the way of
why
that
do you
happening.
Think, I still think that that being your narrative is like not
no,
correct.
It's yeah. And it's, I'm ready to and happy to let it go, but it's, well, I guess I'm not, I'm clinging to it desperately, but I just feel like, it's worth
it
saying.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's down. I mean, he's down for the rain check. Do you know what I mean? Like, totally. We've been in touch. Like, it's not like that. You know what I mean? He was, yeah, he was ready. Look, trust me, I won't waste any time the next time. It was really, really amazing that y'all were able to hit it off because I didn't.
Right.
That was hit or miss.
That was what was such a buzzkill about it is that I was like,
we're having a great time.
Yeah. I was like, this is fun. Yeah, like, yeah. I was like, I don't
like this. Like, can really sweetly, naturally morph into like this, the hot part.
Yeah.
Next, you know, yeah.
I was like, let's do that part.
Yeah. He's looking fine as fuck, too. He just got a haircut. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's like fun to hang out
he's
with.
He's fun. He's good looking. He's a blast.
Yeah.
But I think he's, I think he's a total ticket.
But that was also like a late evening thing to happen.
Yeah.
That was like the night before we left, though.
Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah. It was fun. It was nice to remember being able to be young like that, you know,
precisely,
and that we are young like that, and that it's still like
I have the cutest picture of the two of you like laughing that I showed you. I don't even, that's what's so annoying about me is like I literally cannot do casual sex. I develop an emotional relationship.
You literally do.
I'm like, oh, he's
it's either that or like nothing. It's like a literally. One time.
Well, that's the vast majority of cis dudes I've slept with is like I won't sleep with them again.
Yeah,
which I was given on the note of Ruby Fruit Jungle, just to bring this all the way to a circle. I read Ruby Fruit Jungle when I was like 12 or 13. It's been one of my most guiding light books ever, and that and The Outsiders. But there's this part in the book where this guy pays people to throw fruit at him while he's naked, and you get $50, but the catch in New York in the 80s, 70s or something, it's a lot of money. But the catch is, you can only do it once. Mm-hmm. And the main character was like, oh my God, that's absurd. I should be able to come back and do this every single day. That's not exactly what she said, but it was a painful reality that you could only do it once. And I think that somehow has given me permission for one night stands where I'm like, no, I'm never going to sleep with you again. Like, I don't care what you think or feel. And then, yeah, the pendulum totally swings to being like, I'm fantasizing about our like long co-parenting dynamic. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't do, it's one or the other for me. That's an exaggeration, but.
Is it?
No, it's not. I mean, I was like, you know, not in a realistic kind of way, but in like, I examine all options. Like, what do I want? The question, what do I want? Comes up a lot for sure. And it doesn't, that's why I don't say it out loud because it wouldn't make sense to anybody else. But it's like checking in with these different things that I want. Like, would this happen here? Like, how should I set my expectations for this dynamic, for instance, you know? So anyway. I thought it was fun. I think he's a blast. I think you're a blast. I had a great time. I was not even disappointed that the certain parts of the sex didn't go down because I was like, first of all, this as a connection, the concept of this being a friendship, you know what I mean? Could be really dope. Like him coming over for dinner and then a fuck. That'd be so fun. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't know. I do know. That would be fun. And it just feels possible in a way that like very few... I don't think I've ever had, I've always been in partnership with people where I'm like, we could never have a threesome because nobody would like us both the same, you know, like the same or something like that, if that makes sense. So anyway, that's that.
What an interesting concept. The idea of your partner and you not being able to find a third lover that would like you both the same.
Because we're either so different in my history.
No, I got it. Yeah. I think I got it, but please explain.
Well, in those simple sort of single serving relationships, you know what I mean? It's like the depth isn't there to like bridge the seeming divide between like you and me, friends. Like, how could we be similar? You're femme, I'm mask. Like, there, you know, there's just like all these like surface level differences, white, black, you know, all these different things that like, if you're fetishizing somebody or if you're like going based on what you see in order to get it up, you know what I mean? Like, we're pretty different. You would have to like, you would have to have varied interests. Do you know what I mean? In order, unless you can see the similarities.
That's the thing about it.
And I think, and that's the thing about this person who we were hanging out with, is I think he has what he likes, we actually have in common.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that was pretty, even just interesting to talk about with him and like determine some of the different things that we're interested. We talked about our top porn search histories.
Really?
You and me and him.
Whoop.
Yeah, around the island.
I don't remember.
What? Remember the first, his top one?
Oh, I do remember this, but I don't remember. What did he say his top
mommy
one?
Mommy.
Oh, yeah, I do remember.
Which is just so crazy. Like, that shit is just coming up. This, like, kink fetish around.
It's everybody's
like,
thing.
It's everybody's thing, but nobody will admit it. So it's weird to be around people who are, like, admitting it recently. I'm just like, is this, what is that? Anyway, that's a lot. What else?
I mean, I feel like I would call it here, honestly, mostly because I'm tired and we have one other thing to record before we can call it
totally
fully for the night. But
this was such an interesting episode.
It was. I think it's really interesting. You were, I think, so glorious in this episode, and I really appreciate your vulnerability, and I think it's really relatable, and I feel grateful for it, so thank you.
I learned it from watching you. Okay.
We're learning it from each other. Learning it together. I also want to have like a bowl of cereal or something. Like some tuna salad. I think it's going to be too much. No, totally. Maybe Kylie will run the credits here.
Yep.
Dope.
And that's it. Okay, bye.
Yeah, bye. Dear Jessamine is produced by Tender Fire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram at Dear Jessamine, or head over to our website, DearJessamine.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show. And while you're there, write us a review. They help us out a lot and give you a place to let folks know how you feel about our show. Who the hell is on our team? Kylie C. Roberts is our editor slash producer. Angel Foster, Melody Miniger, and Naya Williams do our social media. Jamie Leppard draws our art, and Fruit Snack plays our theme song. Anna Rooney is my chief of staff. Amber Richardson is Ash's chief of staff. Ash Danger Phoenix is my co-host and co-producer, and I am Jessamine Stanley. We believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Go ahead.
What's the name of that town? And I'm so sorry, this is not what we're talking about, but what is the name of that town where Smith College is?
Northampton.
Remember North that time County. We were driving the RV through the streets in Northampton on the plane?
And you jumped out.
No, you said you were like, we were looking for a place to eat. And you were like, I want to look at Smith College. And I was like, whatever.
I'm just gonna drive by.
Yeah. Because you've worked in the library there. Or like, so I get nostalgia.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're driving down the street,
it's
like where this library
high
is.
Went to college, not to undergrad.
Cool. Well, we're.
We didn't end up going to where your ex's college was, but we passed through it.
Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Dickinson College. I did not feel we were looking for a place to eat. I had said from the jump off we need to go to like McDonald's or Burger King or something. And you were like, what if I really want ramen. You specifically said ramen. No, really? That's the thing. And I love ramen.
And
so
I
was
typically
like,
need ramen.
And we're literally, and we're driving down the street and we see like noodles. It was just like word noodles. And I was like, that place. And you were like, no, go. Jump out in traffic with my bag and a mask and my phone. And I walk up to the restaurant and I'm looking at the menu and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing at this restaurant out here right now? Like, I'm gonna get takeout ramen in the car right now. No. So then I looked and I was like, is she somewhere I can see? And you were like, stopped at the stoplight. I was just like running up. Like, I was like, no.
Tender Fire.
Drop page.